I do cover your prayers tonight. Pastor asked me about a week and a half ago if I would bring the lesson this Wednesday night. I truly want to be a help to our pastor. When I write a devotion or a lesson, our pastor can write probably five words and speak for an hour. And I don't have that ability. I know some of you do. I'm not comfortable reading like that. I have to write everything down. I'm not a pastor. I haven't been called to be a pastor. And much like Charlie brought a few weeks ago, when he got up to do his devotion, he told everybody that he didn't feel worthy to even be up here. And I feel the same way. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and that's all I am. You know, standing up here, it really isn't a scary thing to do. I'm not scared that you guys are going to get me or anything. But what is scary is, you know, you're talking to God's people, and I don't want to say anything that's an error. I don't want to say anything that's contradictory toward the Bible. And that's just the Holy Spirit living within me. And I just want to do what's right. Like I said, you pray for me tonight as I've prepared a short lesson that the Lord has helped me put together. He's caused me to write things that I don't know why that he caused me to write them. But, you know, I read it over and over, and I just couldn't take anything out of it. So the title of tonight's lesson is God's People. If you turn your Bibles with me to Genesis. You know, we see throughout the Bible, God lays on the heart of his people to do certain things. He tells them to go certain places, to speak to certain people, and even tells some to build some pretty unimaginable things. We see Noah in the book of Genesis obey God and build an ark. God's purpose for the ark to be built can be found in Genesis 6. I believe Brother Charlie brought this few verses last Sunday morning. The purpose for the ark, you know, Noah didn't ask God, well, you know, why do I gotta build this ark? You know, should I build it a certain way? There's a better way to do it. It doesn't say anything about that. God's only reason, Chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. And we see that Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says he was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. God tells Noah in chapter 14, verse 14, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. That's a charge to Noah to do something. God told him to do something. And we know the rest of the story. He built the ark. The floods came. It receded. We read about Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, He's going to tell him something to do, like he tells a lot of us what to do sometimes, hopefully most of the time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and do what? And cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And we know that Jonah doesn't do that. He runs. He hides in a ship. The storms come. And he knows exactly why that storm is so terrible. So they throw him in the ocean. Fish swallows him up. And what's he do? He prays to the Lord in chapter 2. He prayed to the Lord in the fish's belly, and it vomited him up. So now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. A lot of times, we don't get a second time. But Jonah, he got a second time, and the Lord said, arise, go to Nineveh. And he did. You know, God uses his people to spread the gospel. We see the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. You know, in the beginning, he wasn't a very nice guy. Until that day, God brought him to the ground. If you turn to Acts chapter 9 with me. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. God's, again, he's going to tell one of his people what to do. And he, trembling, which is Paul, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He was blind. Paul had many trials after that, but he was moved by the Lord to write many letters to various churches, some letters of correction, some of encouragement. All these men had something in common. They were all led of the Lord to carry out his purpose. You know, we have a pastor who, without a doubt, has been called to preach the gospel, been called by the Lord to pastor this small church right here in Mount Morris, Michigan. Being a pastor, he has many burdens dear to him. Like the Apostle Paul, I believe the Lord is using our pastor not to write a letter, but to preach the truth to a church in Kentucky that is in need of our prayers. Now, unlike Jonah, our pastor is preaching what needs to be preached and not hiding somewhere else. Although not easy and enjoyable to preach and counsel with people, I truly believe he feels led by the Lord to do so. Again, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I've been the foreman of a small crew since last September at Menards and Davison. They're doing a remodel job at that store. And at times there's been around 14 electricians that I've had to manage, all during trying to keep everybody busy, trying to meet deadlines, goals, store turnover dates. I've had many issues to deal with. If you've ever been in that management position, you can relate. People being late, people are sick, people wanting to leave early. You get calls that their car won't start, they're stuck in the snow. There's family deaths, and then there's just plain people that really don't want to work, they're lazy. Now, I want to do the best job I can for my employer. But you see, it's not just dependent on me. And just like it's not all dependent on me to get the job done. It's not all dependent on our pastor for us to be the church or church members we ought to be. So much preaching has been brought forth to the condition of our hearts, not in a physical sense, but a spiritual condition. I believe our pastor has been burdened to preach this condition many times over and over and over again. And if our heart is in the condition it ought to be, hey, then praise God, you know. When we're abounding in the Lord, He gives us all these desires to serve Him and push the world aside. Just forget about it. Think about the Lord. And stop being negative. You know, if you're a child of God, you've got eternity to think about. And that's unimaginable. I can't even fathom. Stop being miserable. Again, there's no reason for a child of God to be miserable. Serve Him. Just plain old put Him first in everything you do. When you get up in the morning, just put Him first. And the rest of your day will just be a blessing. He is going to give you the desire to serve Him faithfully. And how do we serve Him faithfully? Well, if you turn to 2 Timothy with me, these are just a couple examples. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hebrews 10. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we can surely see that day approaching. I'm 40 years young. I've seen the heart conditions of many over these years. I work in this workforce of just a heartless society. In most cases, it's all about them. It's sad to see some of God's people go through some of these preventable, unhealthy heart conditions. A healthy heart won't take a job that hinders you from church. It won't. Because the Lord's living within you. It won't plan vacations that start on the Lord's Day. It won't cause you to plan anything on the Lord's Day other than worship Him. It won't tell your kids Sunday school isn't part of worship. A healthy heart strives to pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ during prayer band, especially when we have so much to pray for. You know, we've got families and churches crumbling. Got churches without pastors. God's people need prayer. And just like it's not all about the world, it's not all about God's people either. You know, when we came to the end of ourselves, when Jesus shined down that light in our heart, when He caused us to feel so much shame and humility, when we knew at that point we were worthless and had nothing to offer, God saved us. He entered our bodies in the form of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I thought to myself, how awesome would it be to have Jesus walking beside me every day, walking with you and everyone and everyone could physically see him with you. He's with us every day, but if everyone could physically know that there's a man walking beside you, would you be embarrassed? Would you walk a different path so you didn't pass by your worldly friends? What would your coworkers think? Do you talk to them different? Would there be a few things that he would see that you've got hidden? I don't ask these questions to make anyone mad at me. I've been guilty of all. Again, if the Lord has saved your unworthy soul, he has filled your heart with the Holy Spirit, how can we not want to praise his name? How can we not want to live for him? Not just what's convenient for us. It's easy to just do things convenient. But not just to try to fix him, not try to just put him into our schedule. If you turn with me again to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And I believe he's talking about God's people here. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You know, I just want to be consistent in growing in the Lord. I know all of you do too. If you turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12 pretty much sums up what I have for tonight. I'll start reading in verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It's not all about us. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know, if we're not here, every opportunity that we have, you know, if I see people habitually not here, it hurts me, it saddens me, because they're a part of the body. You know, if you go to the dinner table and expect to eat some dinner, but you left your mouth in the living room, it just isn't going to work very good. You know, in verse 4 it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office." Not everybody's the same. Verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. That's a hard one to do. It is for me anyway. Bless and curse not. Rejoice them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I hope you guys got something out of this tonight. I know I did. Again, I didn't want to say anything I shouldn't. But that's just what the Lord gave me tonight. Pastor did, he said make sure it's at least three devotions long. But I hope you got a blessing out of that tonight. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in prayer.